We're going to be looking this morning at 2 Timothy chapter 2. I believe we're going to start at verse 14, just a few verses here, maybe five, that we can look at and just reflect on some truth from God's word today. This is a little bit of backdrop from this. It says Paul, in the book of 2 Timothy, Paul is talking to Timothy and giving him instruction. It would be like if you needed to tell your son or your daughter or your niece or nephew, you know, you're kind of apart. Maybe it's you have to write a letter and you want to give them some instruction. Just remember, you can't just call them on the cell phone, right? And be like, hey, you know, how's it going? And they're like, oh, you know, I'm having trouble with this. And then you give them advice. It had to happen with pen, right? Write it down. And so anyway, he's giving advice to Timothy, which is the young man that is attempting to be the young pastor there. And Paul is giving him wisdom, giving him direction through letter here. And I just want to pull out these few verses this morning, looking at starting with verse 14 of chapter 2. Let's pray real quick before we start, though. Heavenly Father, thank you that we have this opportunity to look at your word. Once again, we get a chance to make a decision for you and to have another opportunity to serve you this morning. We're thankful for that opportunity. We're asking that you would help us over the next few moments as we look at your word. Help me this morning to say the things you'd have me to guide and direct my thoughts, and that you would speak to each of our hearts here today. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14, it just says here, of these things, put them in remembrance. In other words, of the things that he's already just said, he says, make sure you remember them. Put them in your mind for remembrance. Charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Now, subverting would be for ruining. That would be like if subverting is to ruin. If you're to subvert someone, it would be to ruin them or to cause them harm. And Paul starts off by telling Timothy, where we jump in here, he says, when you're teaching people and you're influencing people in around you in the church and in your family, he says, make sure you remember to tell them before God that they strive not or fight not about words that have no profit. And so to start an argument over which way some of the words go or the terminology or the interpretation, and to start a fight over that is not the purpose here. And he says there to tell into that verse that it will ruin the people that are listening. So this morning for us, just quickly, because I have found that people, not just in the church, but there's very common that this happens outside the church. I will sometimes be on the ambulance, pick somebody up, you know, be talking to them, and they'll tell me all kinds of things about scripture and about people that shouldn't be doing things, and they even try to like explain God's word, and they're obviously not doing what's right. So it doesn't necessarily, it can happen from many different fronts. But we need to be careful where we jump into the argument. And that's why I'm saying that today, is because it doesn't necessarily have to be somebody in the church, it could be outside the church. If we're jumping in and arguing over stuff that's just going to cause people ruin or harm in their view of God and their view of the Bible, let's not do that. Okay? There's no benefit there, right? So what? You proved that you were right, and now nobody even wants to come to church because you had such a bad attitude or you whatever, right? That's kind of the point behind it. So we need to be, that's the advice here this morning that's coming through from verse 14, to be careful, right? When we teach people, and it's not about arguing about this stuff. So let's move on. Verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now he goes on and he says, now for yourself, instead of being that way, we're just arguing over words and these sort of things. Instead, study to study for yourself God's word and show that you are they're first approved unto God. Find out what God is saying in his word. Study it. And see, I think that's where a lot of the the confusion and the arguments come from. There's people that pop off with an argument that because they heard somebody say something about God's word, they haven't even read it. And they sure haven't studied it, most of them. And they're just, they heard a verse over here that somebody quoted, or they saw something over here, or they heard some argument on Facebook, and then they jump in on it. Paul says, instead, let's study for ourselves to make sure that we're in the right place before God in our understanding of his word. And then he says, that way it's a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. A workman that needs not to be ashamed. Let's talk about the one that is ashamed. If you're a workman that's ashamed, you build something and then, you know, the next day you go back to finish it and it's sitting on the ground because it blew over and you didn't build it right. Or you fix something, you do something, and it just doesn't work, or it looks terrible, or it doesn't function like it's. So that's something that I guess we would say you'd be ashamed of that, right? You wouldn't want to put your name big on it. Steve Archibald built this house and it's all falling over. We'd be ashamed of that, right? And so here Paul is saying, no. He said, figure out for yourself, learn, and allow God to speak to us so that we can be workmen that are not ashamed. When we are answering questions and when we're living our life the way that God wants us to, we know that we're right because we're right according to his word. We've spent the time to study it. We know that what we're doing is right according to God's word. And so let's just carry this thought just a little bit farther. You know, there's those that when someone will say something to them, how come you wear this? Or how come you don't talk like this? I mean, or how come you don't do this anymore? Maybe they would begin to get ashamed and say, well, you know, and start to be ashamed because they're not sure. Because they're not sure what God says about it. As we begin to study and understand that talking like that hurts people and those around us, and living like that hurts ourselves and others, and that is not how God intended for us to be, then we begin to understand what is right. And we begin to say, you know what? No, I'm not ashamed. You're the one that should be ashamed. You should not be treating your life like that, your family like that, and your community like that. And see, we begin, because we understand what truth is and what God says, we can begin to rightly divide. We can rightly divide it and say, you know what? I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of what I do because it's right. Good advice. Good advice for a young man, right? Because they think about myself as starting out as a young person to serve God in my early 20s and pastoring the church here in probably my mid to late 20s, somewhere in there when I came here. And it was a time when I didn't know, you know, because somebody says something over here and somebody says something over there. And there's like, well, I don't know what's right. And we begin to learn that only by getting our nose and our thoughts and our mind into God's word so that we know what truth is. Because when God's on your side and when he's backing you up, there's no reason to be ashamed. Let's continue on. Verse 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16. So, now he carries on. But shun, or push away. Shun. Shun would be to push, to push away. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Now we have, I believe we know what profane is. That would be making it look bad, or evil words, wrong words. So there's a whole lot of things that fit into that category. But then vain. Vain is worthless. Vain, if something is vain, it has like this, it looks like it might be good. But when you get there, when you touch it, it ain't no good. It's not there. It's worthless, and it's of no good to anyone. It's a waste of time. And so here again, Paul says, stay away from, not just stay away from, but push them. That's what shunning is. Don't have anything to do with it. Get away from it. Words that would be evil and wrong. And now those could be the words themselves are wrong. Or those could be the person, the way that we're using the words to talk about someone or something that we shouldn't be talking about. Those are profane things. And then also vain things. things that are just a waste of time. There's a lot of things we can say that at the end of the day, they make no difference at all. It's a waste of time, and it can cause confusion. Paul says here, the last part of the verse, he says that it leads or will increase unto more ungodliness. The wisdom here from the scripture today is if we're not pushing away from profane, evil things, words, and words that are a waste of time, that there is a high chance, a very high chance, that we in our lives are going to increase to a place of more ungodliness. I don't even think that's something that we really don't. I think we understand that, right? People that go around talking all the time, there's a good chance they're going to tell something that's not true. There's a good chance they're going to say something about somebody that they shouldn't. There's a good chance that they're going to misunderstand the situation because they're too busy talking and they didn't even hear what they should have heard. And so with a multitude of words and with always talking, especially in things that are no good, it will increase to more ungodliness. Once again, this is wisdom again. This is wisdom from Paul, an older man that's walked this road before, to the younger man and saying, this is the thing you need to stay away from. Man, what good advice for us, right? To just back away from it. If somebody starts talking that way and starts using those kinds of things, let's just back away from it. Well, nothing to do with that. 17. Keeps going, talking about these words. And their word will eat as doth a canker. Canker is cancer. But their word will eat as cancer, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. And I don't know anything about these guys, but this is not the way that you want your name in the Bible. To say that your words are eating other people and causing destruction and causing more ungodliness. And then they put your name after it as the person that does it. That's not what you want, right? That's not what we want. But that's what these people apparently had a reputation for doing. I don't know the background here because I just don't. But maybe in my mind, you know, Timothy is reaching out to Paul and saying, hey, you know, I've had some problems in this community and in this church that I'm working in. And there's these two people that really, they talk this way and they preach this way and they teach these things that are just wrong. In my mind, that's how it is. You know, and Paul is saying, look, that's the way it is. It's like a cancer and it gets in and it just spreads into the whole church, into the whole family, into the whole community. Ungodly things, profane words, and vain babblings. I guess we could talk about that word babbling, right? You guys been up to Clear Creek, up in the mountains when the water's running over the rocks and it's running down over the rocks. That's the babbling of a creek. And some people's mouth is like that. It just keeps going. And it's a waste of time. And more than a waste of time, increases to ungodliness, what Paul says. And it spreads throughout like cancer out into the people around them. Verse 18, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. This is, Paul says about these two people, he says, they concerning the truth, truth is God's word, they have erred. Do you know there's people around that you can say that about? People that are preachers, people that are anybody that is taking truth, taking God's word and teaching it incorrectly, they have taken the truth and they have erred. They made a mistake. It's not right. Once again, what's important? To be in this word so that we can divide the truth appropriately, so that we know. And it says here, it says concerning the truth, they've erred, they've made a mistake, and they've said, in this case, it says they said that the resurrection is past already. And so basically these two were going around saying, Jesus has already come back to get his followers. He's already gone. It's all over. And there's no, you know, at that point, there's very little hope or no hope. And they were going around teaching that had already happened, that this whole, it's already done and gone. And it, because of their teaching, some had actually lost their faith. They begin to believe that what they were saying is true. And see, it's like that with false teachings and with things that people say things that they ought not. It creeps in, and pretty soon it grows a little bigger and a little bigger until there's people that begin to get confused and begin to get, I would say, deceived or tricked by it. Lord, help us to be careful in our talking. We don't to not be profane and to not be vain. To not just in a lack of understanding God's word and truth, in a lack of not understanding exactly what it says, that instead of just admitting, you know what, I need to study into that, or I need to check it a little bit more, instead of saying that we would drift into an area of talking about things that we don't really understand and teaching people things that are not true. The beautiful thing is that as we read God's word, and as we study and we listen to it, and as we attempt to draw closer to God, that He brings that truth, His truth, alive to us. It's not where it's hidden from us, where we can't understand it. It's there for us to understand. It's there for us to learn. It's there for us to speak to us. And through that, we can be in a place where we're not ashamed, and that we are correctly, accurately dividing the word of truth. I trust that'll speak to our hearts today as we meditate on the words that are here in God's word that Paul was speaking to this young man as wisdom to us and how we ought to be. Loretta, do you want to read those verses for us? Could you go ahead and come up here and read it to us? I would like to get those ready. Navajo, please.
Second Timothy 2:14. So because chenin and not in the ship a long sling de in sne auto borne he be not could the nigo baby to hunzi sad benny not auto all a shrata dot aha eight auto da benyata auto the sit the east side or nail chung 15 de in god ye shot. Ye saw a snake in the lingo, the young girl, but not in Zedo, Benia, Halebe, and not Nishido, a diant in the lingo, sad aunt Nini, so that all could get at ego china. 16, did the young girl, or they do single, auto, Beniago, hata ish, only keep its aunt, it didn't sin. Joe ate or you were there. You with the door, the young guy, echo in Nago Ned and a day ish, a cotat in it, a bazaar, Nazit Nahalengo, it at Dishne Hermanius, Adolf Philip, I don't know that.
Philidus,
A. Arge, a trahnilla. 18:2 or?
Yes.
18, A. Nantienda, a nini, It's on he aged. I thought does tante nadil to done a cotton nessa. Beot like it's a nail, it's a nail chum. 19 did the young grab is that they at last nas the niggy at ego to be his dos nas at eda. The big is chini borny he da bihigi ye osin. Ado a thought a sergeant can go borny busy be. A does do G, A do a qui, a dot A, but aren't you got his doca?
Thank you. I forgot to read, I was going to read verse 19 there. I'll read it to us again here. It says, Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So he says, besides all this, because I guess you could kind of be a little bit depressed on that, because if you think about everybody that's saying all this different stuff, it could be a little bit depressing. And Paul wraps it up. He says, well, he says, nevertheless, or besides all this, it doesn't change the fact that God's foundation standeth true. His word, his foundation is true, and it stands. And it says, having this seal, or this proof, or this documentation, that the Lord knows those that are his. In other words, just because someone runs their mouth, just because someone says things they shouldn't, doesn't mean that they fool God. God still knows who is his. And then he finishes up with this verse and says, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. This is how he finishes it out. He said, if you're gonna call yourself a Christian, if you're gonna name the name of Christ and say, I serve Jesus Christ, then let them depart from iniquity. That's how he finishes it out. Walk away from the things that are wrong and wicked and evil. And that's how we'll finish up the day.